This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
All righty, hour number two of our radio program. It is the Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast, on the Infinity Sports Network. We were talking about this mock draft yesterday, as when I was looking at Charles Davis from the NFL Network and CBS Sports, he issued his latest mock draft. And I kept on saying all throughout this week, and I finally made the shift today. I finally had the courage today to predict that quarterbacks would go 1 and 2. But it really did stick with me that Adam Schefter before the combine said the thing he's most confident in the NFL draft is with their first overall pick or their first round pick that the Cleveland Browns are going to take a quarterback, right? He didn't say it was Tennessee who has the first overall pick. He said it was the Cleveland Browns who were going to take a quarterback. And that's what he was most confident in through this entire draft process. And when I look at most of these mock drafts, I see either Cam Ward going 1 or Cam Ward going 2. Not many of these mock drafts having quarterbacks go 1 and 2. So I got a link yesterday right before the show ended, and it was Charles Davis's mock draft, and he actually had Shador Sanders going 1 to Tennessee. Then he had Cleveland taking Cam Ward, and I thought that was going to be the biggest topic of conversation from this mock draft. But then he had the Giants taking Jackson Dart with the 3rd overall pick in the draft. So 1, 2, and 3, he has Shador to Tennessee, Cleveland going Cam Ward, and then the Giants taking Jackson Dart. So then it's like, okay, where does Abdul Carter go? And where does Travis Hunter go? Well, he then has the Patriots taking Abdul Carter at 4, which I would be very happy about. And then he has the Jacksonville Jaguars landing Travis Hunter with the 5th overall pick. I think this is going to be the most fascinating mock draft that I'm going to see from now until the start of the draft. Because not only is it 3 quarterbacks with the first 3 picks, but the order isn't what most people are saying. I think most people are saying Cam Ward's 1, Shador's 2, then there's a drop-off, and then Jackson Dart has a chance to be a first-round pick, but not at number 3. And obviously then, if you have Abdul Carter, who could fall, like I think Carter or Hunter, one of them could fall to 4, but both falling to 4, that would be something that is surprising to me. So there's a lot of good nuggets here from this mock draft. He had Mason Graham going 6 to the Raiders, Will Campbell, short arms and all, going 7 to the Jets. I also think the Jalen Walker, Mikel Williams, and Mike Green rankings are interesting just in terms of edge rushers. He has Jalen Walker going 8 to the Carolina Panthers, Williams going 9 to the Saints, and then he has Mike Green going 11 to the 49ers. Other big names, Charles Davis has Ashton Jeanty going to the Cowboys at 12, Tyler Warren going to the Colts at 14, Will Johnson, Michigan back-to-back picks, Will Johnson at 15 to the Falcons, and then Kenneth Grant, who I love, going 16th overall to the Arizona Cardinals. So this was by far and away, I could say it from, I don't care what else happens from now until April 24th, this is the most interesting mock draft that I've seen. It doesn't mean it's horrible. It doesn't mean I'm ripping it. But I kind of like what Charles Davis is spewing here in his mock draft. And now Charles Davis, the great NFL Network draft analyst, and you could also catch him all throughout the NFL season, calling the games with Ian Eagle and Evan Washburn, NFL and CBS. Here he is, a man that has provided us a lot of talking points today, Charles Davis. CD, how you been, my friend?
I've been great, Zach. How are you doing? I'm providing great entertainment for the masses, that's for sure.
Yeah, we appreciate it. You know, there's no doubt about it. We thank you. So let's start off with this. Why Shedeur Sanders over Cam Ward with the first overall pick, in your opinion?
Yeah, I think it comes down to this for me, and obviously first mock draft, we'll see where it goes, and because I'm going to do three, okay? I always do three. So my last one will drop right before the draft itself. It'll be that Wednesday, I'm sure, and the second one, obviously, somewhere halfway in between. There have been years where I've taken it, and I've got to just give you the little context, okay, and then I'll give you the answer. There have been years where that first quarterback I put down, I've kept throughout. Like, that's who it is, top of the board. He's that person. There's nothing changing it. I don't know if that's the case this year. There's going to be a lot of twists and turns that go. And I've had it right and then talked myself out of it. I remember I put Baker Mayfield down on my first mock draft his year. And then talked myself out of it. And then was kicking myself later because I had it right from the beginning. All that being said, here's the deal. We watched Tennessee play last year. Brian Callahan, coming from Cincinnati, obviously had a hand in Joe Burrow and watched him play. I am not saying Shedeur Sanders is Joe Burrow, but you remember Tennessee last year and how Will Levis played? There's a lot of off-schedule things and a lot of things that went off-schedule and went really awry. The Chicago game, to open the season, a game that they should have won, still can't understand what that throw was to the sideline that Chicago ran back for a touchdown. Our crew, week two, at home against the Jets. You remember Brian Callahan handled that. Okay, go, all right, you're my guy. All of a sudden, he's going to the ground late in the first quarter in a really tight game, and all of a sudden, this underhand scoop shovel, whoop! Brian Callahan, he didn't handle quite the same on that one, did he? All I'm saying is those two plays weren't the only two. There's a lot of off-schedule stuff that went awry all year long. Shedeur Sanders doesn't play off schedule. He plays on schedule. Joe Burrow doesn't play off schedule. He plays on schedule. Has Burrow increased his movement in and out of the pocket? Yes, over time. Shedeur Sanders has moved in and out of the pocket, despite what everyone's saying. He's not a statue back there. You can find him maneuvering and running, but he wants to go back, hit the back foot with a hitch, without a hitch, completed on time. That's why I put him there in my first one, because I can just see Brian Callahan looking at that tape from last year and doing this, like, I can't have that again. This is designed precisely to work a certain way. And when we get off schedule and out of platform all the time, it doesn't work. Now, I know he doesn't want him anchored to the pocket, but I don't think he wants people maneuvering and exiting the way that he saw last year. Sanders doesn't do that. Cam Ward, that's a different situation. Much more of the guy is going to move and go. So in my initial mock draft, Shedeur Sanders, Brian Callahan, felt like a match to me right out of the gate.
So something that really stuck with me, and I haven't seen it. You reflected this on your mock draft, but I haven't seen it with others. And everyone, right, is entitled to their own opinion. But before the combine, Adam Schefter said the thing he's most confident about in this NFL draft is that the Cleveland Browns are going to take a quarterback with their first round selection. And I see a lot of people, right, it's either Cam Ward 1 to Tennessee or the Giants move up to 1. And then Cleveland at 2 takes either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. Can you see the Browns at 2, you know, even if you're wrong and let's say, hey, Cam Ward's 1 and Shedeur is there at 2, can you see the Browns passing up on a quarterback?
I'd be in shock. Like, I think I said it earlier today, Zach, that if I were on air and Cleveland took anything but a quarterback here, you would hear the thud of my body falling off of a chair. And then they've just dragged me off and continue on with the show. I just don't see it otherwise. They've had to make the adjustment in contract with Deshaun Watson. So now he's almost our football's version of Bobby Bonilla Day, right? Because they had to kick it down the road. They were supposed to be done with this in 2025 or six. Now we're already at 2029 because they can't just do what Denver did, which was really bite the bullet and cut Russell Wilson's contract and just eat it and have to deal with the ramifications. This was so massive. If you did that, it's like you set off a tsunami amongst your salary cap. So they had to make these modifications, yet he's still there. I don't think he'll ever take another snap in a Cleveland uniform. I think we'd all be shocked if he did. So now you're saying Bailey Zappi's in camp and Dorian Thompson-Robinson. That's what you have right now. Unless there's another big move made, a Sam Darnold or whatever, I just don't see how you can pass on one of these quarterbacks because you're sitting at two. And as you said, even if someone jumps you at one, there are quarterbacks there to be taken. I think it's going to be a quarterback. I don't think Tennessee can go Abdul Carter. Tennessee can go Travis Hunter. Tennessee can do those things. Tennessee can trade out. I don't think Cleveland can do that. I think they've got to figure out which quarterbacks they like and hope one of those guys is there.
The other thing, too, is, and I'm glad that you brought up the other options on the market outside of the draft. It's like I look at Tennessee and Cleveland. I know some people said Aaron Rodgers going to Tennessee. I just don't see it. I don't think either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields prevents you from taking a quarterback. And if Kirk Cousins was available, which right now he's still under contract with the Falcons, so he's not available yet, then maybe I could see Cleveland. That's why I do feel like it's going to be quarterbacks 1-2, is because there's not really an option out there in free agency right now outside of Sam Darnold, but I don't think Sam's going to either of these places or they're going to pursue Sam either, where I go, okay, that takes either Tennessee or Cleveland out of the QB market.
I agree with you, and I'll put it to you this way, and I'll try and be succinct for the first time in my life. Even if they sign an Aaron Rodgers or a Russell Wilson or a Kirk Cousins, either one of these teams, Cleveland or Tennessee, it does not preclude them from taking a quarterback as well, because whoever you're signing is truly a bridge. It's truly a bridge. We're not talking about anything beyond. You're hoping 2 years, maybe one. It's a bridge. And by the way, that allows these quarterbacks to settle in, doesn't it? They don't have to play right away. They don't have to go through all this stuff. And, you know, that's a never-ending debate. Because, Zach, you and I have talked about this for years, and I've said the same thing consistently. A first-round quarterback's going to play as a rookie.
Sure.
It's almost impossible for them not to. And I know I can hear it now. Mahomes, okay, that's an outlier, okay? Give me another outlier. They're out there. There's a couple of others. But for the most part, ownership's going to come down. Hey, coach, that guy we drafted, when? Eli Manning, was it 10 games before they benched Kurt Warner?
Yeah, and he, you're right.
Josh Freeman somewhere around 9 or 10 in Tampa Bay way back when.
And this isn't an Aaron Rodgers, Jordan Love situation. Like, that's a thing. No. With these two spots,
that's an outlier.
They don't have a quarterback. Like, even Alex Smith, who's a good quarterback, not a great quarterback, he was good enough to hold the job for the rest of the, for the entirety of the season. What Tennessee and Cleveland has right now, no offense to them, there's nothing that prevents you from saying, okay, after 5-6 games when the team's struggling and the fans are breathing down the coach's neck to put the new quarterback in, there's nothing that you could hold on to and say, this is why I can't play the youngster.
And I've often said when you have those situations too with the rookie quarterback, if you play him in week 2 or week 3, why didn't you just start him from the beginning? Like, you kind of wasted 2 games. If you have a real plan and you can execute it and we get deep into the season, remember Mahomes made the last start of the regular season, but the Mahomes Alex Smith thing was such an acknowledgement. Alex Smith knew the moment that he was drafted, I get one more year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's over. Like, unless we win the Super Bowl, it's done. By the way, they went to the playoffs that year. They were a good football team, but it was done. Rarely do you have that. That first-round guy is going to play.
All righty. Jackson Dart at 3, Charles Davis. At the end of the college football season, if you would have told me he'd be a first-round pick, I'd be like, eh, I don't really see it. The third overall pick in the draft, I know sometimes teams reach on quarterbacks because it's the most important position not only in the NFL but sports, but take me through how you thought up of this one for the Giants at 3.
Well, first of all, as soon as this thing got released yesterday, the first text I got was from my son.
What did he say? Dad, what the heck are you doing?
He didn't even go that far. He just said, Dart at 3, ? He was wondering if the old man had slipped a cog. Then it started to come in from other people. Dart at 3? And no one said, wow, that's a bold choice. Everyone was like, what are you thinking? Even people that like Jackson Dart came in and said, way too high. And I get all of that. I said, what if the Jets take him at 7? You more comfortable there? Because people have talked about that. That's been discussed. That's out there already. I said, what's the difference between 3 and 7? When you really get down to it. If you like a player, you go get him now. The reason I brought this up, and let's be honest, you know that when you do a mock draft, especially your first one, it is not necessarily, this is exactly what I believe, but you want to have something that's somewhat plausible and thought-provoking. Now, a lot of people would question the plausible part, but I do not. Why? Because last year, if I'm not mistaken, Zach, when the Giants had an opportunity to draft a quarterback in a top discussion of maybe you should get a quarterback, who was still left on the board? Michael Penix, J.J. McCarthy, Bo Nix. They passed on all of them. How'd that work out? Not so well. Could this be the year where they go, we're not passing, all right? I'm just not doing it. Plus, you and I both know that when I do a mock draft, I don't do trades. I don't change where their number is. I go with it. We have gotten to the point where if you like a player, you go get him and you don't worry about, is this too rich? Is this not? Remember when everybody said Detroit was crazy for jumping up and getting Jahmyr Gibbs at 12?
Sure. I was one of them.
You remember when Dallas took Travis Frederick in the first round? Everybody said, he's a third-round guy. If you have conviction on a guy, you probably should go ahead and get him. Now, I get it. The argument can be made, and I totally understand it. But let the debate begin, because if I can put him at 3 and get clobbered, and understandably so, and yet I see my brethren put him at 7, everybody goes, oh, well, maybe, you know, possibly. 3 and 7, this is that much of a difference? I don't think so.
What would you say to people? Because, all right, I live in New York, and I could, if I was hosting the Fed right now, I could hear the calls if we did this as a topic.
Oh, God. It would be worth a nickel a pound. I get it. Well, I grew up in New York State.
Yeah, so I would just ask you this then. Would you rather have, let's say, Aaron Rodgers and Travis Hunter, or would you rather just have Jackson Dart? Like, would you rather have Rodgers in New York with Travis Hunter and Malik Nabers, or would you say, you know what, don't go Aaron Rodgers and you take Dart at 3?
I'd go Rodgers with Travis Hunter, absolutely, because I'm pairing him with Malik Nabers, and I kick that decision down the road, and maybe I come back in the second round and get a Tyler Shuck. Look, a Jackson Dart could easily end up in the second round. We've been through this. You remember Will Levis, I was just talking about him, right? Do you remember the momentum that built the night of the draft? That
the
all of a sudden,
number one overall pick, out? I never got it. It was crazy.
Right? You remember that? And it didn't happen. Do you remember the year when Malik Willis was coming out and everybody
fell to the third? Night,
first round, he goes in the third. So these things happen a lot, right? And I get it. I totally get it. But Dart is accurate. Dart has won a bunch of ball games in places, you know, at Ole Miss where he's elevated. He just missed the college football playoff. He's a kid who can run the ball better than he gets credit for. I like the moxie about the young man. I like the makeup to him. He would be my third quarterback as reflected by where I put him. Now, is he going to go there? That remains to be seen. But everyone's holding their hand up now saying, hey, Tyler Shuck is now all of a sudden jumped into the conversation. Do you believe in Jalen Milroe? I think Anthony Richardson would be the easiest comparison. And right now, that's really hurting Jalen because Anthony's accuracy wasn't there. And then we saw Jalen have a tough time at the Senior Bowl, right? And right on down the line. So you got to believe in him and wonder if you're going to go in that direction. Quinn Ewers, I thought he threw the ball well at the combine. But you go back during the season, now the word is he was hurt the entire season and played through it. Got to give him extra points if that's really true, but it's got to change your evaluation about what you saw on tape. And I'm going to give you one that threw the heck out of the ball at the combine, and no one was talking about prior to, and all said his accuracy issues were a big problem at Missouri, and that's Brady Cook, who threw the heck out of it at the combine. Now, are you going to take that versus what you saw on tape? I will say this, the way he tested as an athlete will make you go back to the tape and say, hey, this kid's an uber competitor, won a bunch of games, elevated a Missouri program. Is there something there that I can work with? Not in the first round, but down the road. But, Zach, did anyone mention Brady Cook even going to the combine?
No.
No. And by the way, Kyle McCord threw the heck out of it this year up at Syracuse.
Did a great job.
Give Will Howard a ton of credit, winning a natty at Ohio State, deservedly so. Kid played his you-know-what off, made some big plays along the way, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I am of the opinion that Kyle McCord would have won a natty this year at Ohio State, too.
Interesting. Let me ask you this before we let you run. When we get to free agency, Rodgers and Darnold, how do you kind of handicap that right now in their next destinations?
Listen, I think that Rodgers wants to play football. Again, I've spent no time with Aaron, so I'm talking as a true outsider, just observing. He seems to me like he still loves football and wants to play. I'm not hearing any of that waffling about it. It's just more situation where he wants to go, et cetera, and he can afford to be choosy. We know that because he's got all the skins on the wall. Darnold, if I'm Sam Darnold and Minnesota still wants me, I'm thinking hard about cutting a deal there. I really am, because that's the best football he's played in his career. Best coaching for him. Offensive unit is really good. You're going to get Darisaw back at left tackle. They just picked up Cam Robinson to make the run last year. Look at the receiving core. You got a runner in Aaron Jones. Kevin O'Connell can make, like, you and I can get through about a quarter of an NFL game now if Kevin O'Connell's our head coach and quarterback.
I don't know about that. Maybe you, not me. I don't know about that.
Listen, you realize that 2 years ago he won how many games?
Yeah.
How many different quarterbacks? Including my man Josh Dobbs showing up on like a Tuesday and getting it done. All I'm saying is, if I'm Sam Darnold, I realize money's money, and I don't mess with anyone's money. I don't do that. But I have to figure, if you're Sam, career-wise, this might be the spot. Because remember, J.J. McCarthy didn't do anything last year because he was hurt. So I'm not sure he's coming back like Patrick Mahomes sat out an entire year, practiced every day. J.J. McCarthy was rehabbing coming back. I'm not sure you're just saying, well, I just go right to J.J. McCarthy. If I'm the Vikings, I want Darnold to come back. And if I'm Sam Darnold, this is where I played the best in my NFL career. Anywhere else I go is another reset. Am I ready for that? And will I play to that same level?
I knew we were only going to talk quarterbacks, so we'll bring you on again as we get closer to the draft, because there's so many things that fascinate me. He's Charles Davis. It's a great job. NFL Network, CBS Sports. We appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Zach. Always great to see you. You take care of yourself.
There he is, Charles Davis. Love his stuff, and gave us a little insight on what he was thinking. I love the part where he's like, my own son texted me and was just like, Jackson Dart? ? It's just awesome stuff there. We'll react to that conversation when we come on back, and I'll give you what I think is going to be the first four picks and who's going to be the first four picks of the draft when we do return.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
So I guess Stephon Diggs is done in H-Town. Now, they altered the contract last year, so it was 1 year left on that deal. You remember that trade, Samter, by the way? Stephon Diggs? We both got Wi-Fi on the plane, which is a good thing we did, and we were flying out to Arizona for the Final Four, and in the middle of the flight, I just tapped Samter on the shoulder, which, by the way, Samter's being a pain in the ass on that flight. He kept on turning around because we booked those flights very late. It was late that we found out that we were going. And I'm an aisle seat guy. I don't mind the window, but my preference is the aisle. A middle, I will not fly. Like, it has to be a quick flight, or I must need to get to that destination in order for me to sit in a middle. The last time I sat in a middle seat, it was when they canceled my flight and I was stranded in Kansas City for the draft. And I had to stay in Kansas City for an extra day. So I did the rare moment where it's like, okay, let me be a douche and use my platform. And I started tweeting because they canceled my flight, made me stay at the airport for 8-9 hours before they canceled the flight. And then they rebooked me like the following day at night. So I already spent an extra day in Kansas City. I wasn't spending another day. And also my parents were moving out of my childhood home the next day. So I wanted to get back. So I started tweeting out, like, this is ridiculous, blah, blah, blah. Within 45 seconds of the tweet being sent out, I think it was a Delta representative slides into my DMs and go, let's fix your problem, Mr. Gelb. And then they had me on a connecting flight to, I think it was Kansas City to Detroit and then Detroit to New York. How that makes sense, I don't know. But I had to sit from Kansas City to Detroit on that middle seat, and I was like, I just needed to get there. But anyway, we were on that flight to Arizona, and I usually don't buy Wi-Fi on planes. Sometimes they give it to you. Like JetBlue, when I was flying JetBlue last week, they just give it to you. on the plane. And if it's like $5, all right, yeah, I'll spend it, whatever. When it's a work flight, it's comped, so we'll spend the money. But we got that alert. But anyway, that Stephon Diggs is getting traded. But anyway, the reason I bring that up is that that ended up being a one-year deal. And the Texans, I thought Christian Kirk was getting released. Sometimes, right, you say a player's getting released, then that's kind of, here's the Batman signal. Anyone want to go trade for him? Go trade for him. Well, Tom Pelissero says it's a 2026 seventh-round pick going to Jacksonville for Christian Kirk. The Texans take on Christian Kirk's existing contract, which is set to pay him $16.5 million in 2025, the final year of his deal. So Christian Kirk going to the Houston Texans, and now they have Nico Collins, who's a very good player. Tank Dell got hurt late into the season. We'll see when he comes back, but he's a favorite of CJ Stroud. Yeah.
So he had surgery to repair his LCL and his PCL like 3 months ago, but he had to wait until this week to have the ACL surgery.
Yeah.
So he's not going to be back for a bit.
So he'll probably start the year on PUP and maybe get him back halfway through, but I think this takes him out of the running for Stephon Diggs. How many guys can you pay? Like, you because this, remember the Christian Kirk deal happened?
We and all he said signed? It was a bad deal.
No, I understand that, but think about it now. We were freaking out over, like, this, it's now $16.5 million, but if memory serves me right, it was like 18-something earlier on the contract. We're like, $18 million, now $18 million for a wide receiver. Sign me up. But Christian Kirk is a fine receiver. He's like a number two wide receiver in this league. That's what he is. So I think that this means Stephon Diggs, unless if it's a cheap one-year deal, which it could be, because Stephon Diggs also got hurt this year. I would say that this is probably the end of Stephon Diggs with the Houston Texans.
It makes you wonder, though, if the Jaguars can unload Christian Kirk for a seventh rounder, how do the Jets not get anything for Davante Adams?
Well, I could give you the answer to that.
Because the Jets are inept?
No. Well, maybe. No, the answer is because Davante Adams, he's going to say, I'm not playing on your team. Like, he's going to, I think Davante Adams, this is where I think he's an idiot. He still wants to go play wherever Aaron Rodgers is going. So Davante Adams has a lot more clout in this league where he could strong arm an organization like the Jets, where Christian Kirk, all right, we're going to release you. You know what? Now we're going to send you to Houston. It's like, what leg does he really have to stand on?
But if you're a team giving up a seventh round pick for 1 year, Davante Adams, sure, he might not sign a long-term extension. Do you think he's going to sit out the entire year?
I don't know the answer to that. Also, the money's a lot more for Davante Adams. Lot more highly compensated, so you got to figure that out as well. I don't know what Davante Adams is going to get this year on the open market. But anyway, getting back to the conversation with Charles Davis. Ack, you're a Giant fan, right?
Yes, I am.
How would you react if you're sitting there on April 24th, you're watching the NFL draft, the first pick of the draft is Shedeur Sanders to Tennessee.
God bless.
Then the second pick of the draft is Cam Ward to Cleveland.
God bless.
And then the Giants are on the clock. You're Joe Shane. Who are you picking with the third overall pick? You going Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, right?
Good question. I don't think you can go wrong with either of them.
So you'd be content with either?
Absolutely. That's my, that was my thought from the outset. Look, I don't mean to besmirch Cam Ward nor Shedeur Sanders, but nobody seems to think they are franchise-changing quarterbacks. They may be pretty good. You know, look, I look at I look at Ward and I think of Steve McNair. And he was pretty damn good.
Won MVP along with Peyton.
Yeah, I mean, Shedeur Sanders could be really good. You know, I don't know, but nobody seems to think that they are game changers.
It's interesting to me, the last two draft guys that we've had on, Emory Hunt and then Charles Davis, both have thrown out the comparisons. Hunt was more direct. Charles Davis says he's not saying he's this guy, but they play similarly to Joe Burrow. That's what both of them have said. And I don't think that, I'm not saying that Emory and Charles aren't friendly, but I don't think they're looking over each other's notes as they do their mock drafts.
I just find that interesting because, you know, neither is as big as Joe Burrow. You know, obviously Joe Burrow transferred, like both of them, and found success at LSU.
You know what I keep on seeing with Cam Ward? I keep on seeing he's smaller than this guy, but in person he looks massive.
Yeah, he does. He's thick, you know, which is you need. And I don't mean that in a bad way.
Yeah.
I mean that in a good and necessary way.
But I keep on seeing like a Big Ben in Cam.
You know, people
like a poor man's Big
somebody,
Ben.
Somebody made that comparison, and I don't remember who it was.
Maybe me. You may have heard me say it once or twice.
Maybe. I thought I did hear it somewhere else, though. Mm-hmm. But, and look, there's a lot to like about Cam Ward. He's been successful at three different places. He had to work to get to where he was. It didn't come easy. And you watch him throw the ball, and you're like, wow.
Yeah.
You know, so, but why is there as a big a knock on him as there is, considering all that?
And you're talking Shador?
And Cam Ward.
Oh, and Cam Ward?
You know. Shador, I kind of see it because he's a little smaller.
Yeah.
I think there's...
Hey, here's what I like about both these guys. They both have done more with less.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been multiple places too, which I kind of actually not
well,
like.
I don't know if you could call more with less when you have Travis Hunter. So that's
yeah, but the offensive line
I get
stunk
it,
at Colorado.
Yep, I get it.
Yeah,
I get it.
So. I think both guys. I look at them. I say they could be good.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at any of them the same way that
you know,
I looked at Joe Burrow coming out of college, or you know, I know it didn't. It hasn't worked out, but even Trevor Lawrence. You know, people love Bryce Young, and some of these guys. Hey, they just don't work out. But I don't think they look that way.
It's hard to find a franchise quarterback, and what I mean by that is, you know, somebody the ilk of Lamar Jackson. Look, I know he's an all-timer, but Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen. It is not easy to find that guy. And look, it may take years for a team to find that guy. But I think if you don't have the right guy, I also think you're hurting yourself if you overdraft out of desperation. And, you know, the other thing, too, is as far as the Giants go, you know, everybody's still stuck on Eli Manning. And I don't mean that as, but they want that guy who is not going to miss a start. They want that guy who will come up big in big spots. And maybe one of these two are.
Yeah, but that's not the NFL in 2025.
You know, yeah, but, you know, nobody, you know, so fans are stuck on that, and maybe the organization is, but maybe these guys aren't that. Maybe they are. It's hard to really know. Quarterbacks are the toughest position to evaluate. Look at how many have gone over the last 25 years.
Oh, we missed on so many more.
Yeah.
On so many.
And so...
You miss them more than the ones that you actually predict correctly.
And then you look at guys, Lamar Jackson went in the end of the first round. Patrick Mahomes went almost middle of the first round. Brock Purdy is the last pick of the draft.
Josh Allen, I know he went seventh, but two quarterbacks went in front of him.
No question. So, you know, it's hard to really know.
I love Lamar, by the way, coming out of college.
Yeah. Oh, there was nothing not to like about him. But, you know,
that to Bill Polian.
Yeah. There are question marks in everything. And obviously, Josh Allen's was playing at Wyoming. And
yeah. Okay. So I was reading you Charles Davis's mock draft. Tennessee Shador, Cleveland Cam Ward. And Axe sitting there draft night. He's like, okay, I'm getting my guys, either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter. Now give me the reaction. With the third pick, the New York Football Giants select quarterback,
dude,
Jackson Dart.
Definitely not.
Mississippi.
Definitely not. That's Trey Lance right there. I have no problem with Jackson Dart.
That's what Charles Davis has.
And you may need to trade back into the first round if you're the Giants to get him, and may need to trade deep into the first round. And I'm not saying like 28, like 18, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, an awful lot of people like him. He's another guy. I don't know how good he's going to be, but he has measurables. And I said this before, and I watched a lot of this guy because I'm a Notre Dame fan, but I was watching Riley Leonard, and I know it's the Underwear Olympics, and you can't base anything on that, but here's a guy who had success at two schools, seems to be really well-liked.
He's a great runner. I don't know how he's throwing the
mobile
football.
You know
I don't love him throwing the football. He played well in the championship game.
Yes,
when they
but you know what? And they didn't miss him when he was out.
Yeah.
But I watched him on the combine because I just kind of, even though I try to tell myself never watch the combine, you come across.
But you know who loves him?
Who's that?
So he thinks Cam Ward's the best quarterback. I said, who's two? And he was like, I kind of like Riley Leonard. That was Ryan Leaf.
There you go.
Said that.
Because I watched him, and I had the same reaction about Daniel Jones at his pro day. Riley Leonard didn't miss a pass. Mm-hmm. And I know there's no pass rush. The conditions are perfect. But he's throwing to guys he's never thrown to before.
Daniel Jones didn't really work out, though.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Daniel Jones, for a little while, was a pretty good quarterback. And maybe
one year.
you know, hey, he won a playoff game on the road. That's got to count for something. And maybe, you know, maybe the injuries and he became a little skittish because of the line, maybe that caught up with him. You know, who knows? I don't know what went into this, but I will say this, though. Riley Leonard, you know, not only made the throws, but also was like unfazed by anything. He looked like he was playing catch with you and me. And, you know, maybe he's not good. That's entirely possible. And maybe, you know, maybe he's a backup in the league for 6 years. But watching him the other day, I was like, you know, you put that all together and, you know, maybe there's something there. You know, and again, maybe he's a day three pick. Maybe he's worse than that. You know, maybe somebody falls in love with him and, you know, he's back and he's at the back end of round two. You know, I don't know. But that guy I looked at, I was like, you know, there's something there. I don't know what it is, but and I'm certainly not a scout, but there's something there.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come on back. We'll give you the first four picks of the draft when we return. Update time first. Here is ACK.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season two on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season one and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season two.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
Yo, yo, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. I think there is option one, and then there's option two when it comes to the first four picks of the 2025 NFL Draft. I do believe Cam Ward's going one in some capacity. Shedeur Sanders is going two. So this is option one for me. Tennessee keeps the pick. They take Cam Ward. Then the Cleveland Browns take Shedeur Sanders. Then the Giants at three. I think with the Giants and the money that they have invested so far on the defense, right? I know that there's a decision to be made on Kayvon Thibodeau. but you just ended up paying Brian Burns as well. You got money tied up to Dexter Lawrence. I think they go more so, let's get help on the back end. Let's also get someone that could complement Malik Nabers, and then they would take Travis Hunter. And then the Patriots would get Abdul Carter at four, and you would get Keon White, Barmore, and Abdul Carter on that defensive line. That's what I think is option one. Tennessee Titans, Cam Ward, Cleveland Browns, Shedeur Sanders, the New York Football Giants with Travis Hunter in at three, and then the Patriots with Abdul Carter in at number four. Option two. This is the second option. I could see the Giants trading up to one, and then they snag Cam Ward. I then could see Cleveland still taking Shedeur Sanders. Then Tennessee, okay, you move back from one to three. Are you going Travis Hunter or are you going Abdul Carter? I think they would go the pass rusher in this situation, also now with Harold Landry available too. So I think they would take Abdul Carter, and then I would put the Patriots with Travis Hunter. So those are the two options that right now you ask me. March 6th, draft is April 24th. Option one, option two, you get two opportunities at this. If I had to submit who's going to be the first four picks of the draft and in order, option one, I would say Tennessee keeps the pick, goes Cam Ward. Cleveland goes to Shedeur Sanders in at two. Giants take Travis Hunter at three. Patriots go Abdul Carter four. And then if I had to put another one, Giants straight up to one, they take Cam Ward. Browns go with Shedeur Sanders at two. Tennessee goes Abdul Carter in at number three. And then the Patriots go get Travis Hunter in at number four. So that's how I think the first four picks are going to go. At this point, I would be surprised in some order if those are not the first four players off the board. It doesn't mean that they're the four best players in this draft. I do think Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter are two of the four best players in this draft. Personally, I think Mason Graham is better than both the quarterbacks. Personally, I think Ashton Jeanty is better than both the quarterbacks. And I also think Tyler Warren, the tight end out of Penn State, is better than both the quarterbacks. But in this case, it doesn't matter who you think the best players are. It's also what those teams need. Giants, Tennessee, Cleveland, they all need quarterbacks. So I do think at the absolute worst, the absolute latest, even if I'm wrong that the quarterbacks don't go 1-2, that you will see a quarterback go 1 or 2. And then if it's not the Giants moving up to 1, then you will have the Giants sitting there at 3 and getting whichever quarterback does remain. So that's where I'm at right now. But I really do believe quarterbacks are going 1-2, which is fascinating to me because how many people tell you about this quarterback draft class? I don't love Cam Ward. I don't love Shedeur Sanders. But they'll go in the first round. I think the two questions we need to ask are, hey, Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders, how early are they going to go? You know, will they go 1-2? I think they will. At the absolute latest, like I said, they'll go 1-3. But then it's, does another quarterback sneak into the first round? And I've been going through this. I guess that, like, it's so funny how this works. At the end of the season, if you would have said, Zach, Jackson Dart would be the third best quarterback in this draft class, I would say, did you watch Florida? Did you watch Kentucky? Even the game that they won up against Georgia, that game was won because of their defense. That was the alarming thing to me with Ole Miss this year. Their demise, we all thought it was going to be defensively. It wasn't because of their defense. It was because of their offense and the inconsistencies that they had on the offensive side of the balls, a ball, especially in a big game. So, if at the end of the season you would have said, Zach, Jackson Dart would have been QB3, I would have said, no way. I thought it would have been Dylan Gabriel. Now it seems like Dylan Gabriel is like quarterback 7 or 8. You know, midway through the season, I would have thought it was as Jalen Milroe. I would not use a first-round pick on Jalen Milroe. But it seems like momentum is picking up for Jackson Dart to be the third quarterback in the draft. Charles Davis just put him at 3. I love CD. He just was on the show with us. But what? Jackson Dart at 3? And I went through this morning. And when I was going through the draft order, And I was saying, where can Jackson Dart go? And I know what Charles Davis said. I don't see him going three. I'm just going off teams that need a quarterback. Jackson Dart's not going one to Tennessee. Jackson Dart's not going two to Cleveland. Jackson Dart's not going three to the Giants. If Jackson Dart's there with the Raiders, I don't think he's going there. I don't think the Jets take Jackson Dart. Like, I'm going through teams that need a quarterback. I don't think the Saints take Jackson Dart. So I'm going through it. I only had two teams. I only think Jackson Dart could go to two teams in this upcoming draft. One would be the Seattle Seahawks sitting in there with the 18th overall pick. And then, if you had to throw in another potential team, another possibility here, honestly, maybe the Steelers at 21. Those are the only two. It's the Seahawks and the Steelers. If Jackson Dart goes 3, 6, 7, 9 to either the Giants, the Raiders, the Jets, the Saints, I'll be recording an instant reaction video, sending it to Samter, and losing my bleeping mind. I don't think he should go in the first round, but I know this works. But if you tell me, okay, Seattle uses pick 18 on him, okay, I could get it. The Steelers use 21, okay, I could get it. But other than those two teams, I don't see the team that needs a quarterback and they have the pick where you go, okay, I'm going to take Jackson Dart there. But also, I didn't think Bo Nix would go 12th overall. And Bo Nix had a pretty good rookie season last year. Darius Slay has some things to say about quarterbacks. We'll react to that next.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.